All right, imagine with me a very terrifying scene. One of your children is abducted, is kidnapped. And you find out that the kidnappers are part of a sex trafficking group. The horror that would go through you, the rage, the intense fear. What are these animals? What are they even thinking, let alone possibly planning on doing with my child? Now imagine you get a phone call, and it's from the governor. You have a long-standing friendship, a very good, deep friendship with the governor. And he says to you, I need you here at my house right now. So you go to the governor's mansion. He doesn't waste any time, and he tells you, after hearing about your predicament, this is what I did. I've got some people in some very high places. In fact, as you know, my son is a special ops soldier, a commander of a group. And this is what we're going to do. We've got a rescue squad that's going to go out. They're leaving tonight. It's an extraction team. And they're going to go and they're going to try and get your daughter. My own son is going to be leading that team. I will be in contact with you when we hear of anything. You can imagine you're waiting on bated breath. You cannot sleep, absolutely not. That whole night, it's just intense. Finally, early in the morning, you get a call, and the governor tells you, your daughter is safe. She's on a plane coming home. And he pauses. He lets that sink in before he continues. Then he says, but there was a firefight. My son was able to get your daughter safely on the helicopter, but he sustained some wounds. And 2 hours later, he died from those wounds. What would be going on in your heart right now, right then? How would you feel towards that man, that governor, that sent his son in to rescue and successfully save your daughter? How would you feel toward that fallen soldier? How would you want to honor that man that risked his life and gave his life to save your child? Do you see the parallel here? This is what Jesus did for us. This is what God the Father did. We were in the hands of a tyrannical, evil, horrific, beastly force. God made a plan. He executed that plan, sending his own son to be that special ops soldier who went in and rescued us. He pulled us out of darkness, giving his own life, dying for us. How will you honor that man? If we truly can grasp this truth, this reality, how dare we ever walk through those doors, the doors to the sanctuary, with anything less than just honor, praise, love, admiration, glory for this amazing son who sacrificed himself for us, for our children, for our families. This was the rescue operation. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. Those are the very words he uses, isn't it? Christ Jesus rescued us from the tyranny of darkness. That was the work that Jesus did for us. Amazing, isn't it? And here's the deal. Redemption, it even in that context, in the scripture text for today, mentions the word redemption. I looked it up on dictionary.com. It's interesting. The second definition was, under redemption, it was rescue. To rescue. And when God rescues us and redeems us, he literally pulls us from darkness, brings us into the light, and his light actually gets inside of us. We actually become children of light. This changes our whole identity. And all of a sudden, everything changes. That's God's purpose. That literally is why Jesus came to this earth. I might be skipping around a little bit here in my sermon notes. But Jesus' purpose was this, and he said it in John 12:46. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. So that no one who believes in me will stay in darkness. You can't stay in darkness when you believe in Jesus. When you believe, when you understand what he did, why would you want to stay in darkness? Anybody here really come to know, but really know what darkness is like? I see a lot of people here that are over the age of 15. But no, how many of us really have felt, come to either brush up against or worse, gotten entangled with darkness? The kind of darkness that brings about addiction. The kind of darkness that forms into hate. The kind of darkness that brings absolute distress, absolute dysfunction to everything in life. Anybody here still enjoy darkness? It's something that the more you talk about it, the more you understand, it becomes repulsive. And that is a good thing. We should be repulsed by the things of the dark. And we should want to then be just dwelling in the light, spending time in the light, wanting to grow and for God's light to grow in me. This then becomes our purpose. So our calling, identity, and purpose is described by Paul in Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. It's our identity. Like I said, it's a metamorphosis that happens in us. When that light comes in, and for some of us, we really did experience this. God really did pull us from this realm, this tyranny of darkness. And when he did so and got his light into us, things changed. Things started to change in big time. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The idea here is a metamorphosis. He said, the old has gone, the new has come. It's a transformation. It's a change. It's the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And that's a perfect example. This is God's purpose. This is God's wish for us. This is God's plan for us, is that we would experience that change, that metamorphosis, because of Christ being in us. It's a change. It's a transformation. Now, I like the way Paul worded it too, how he talked about how we are qualified to share an incredible inheritance. Right? Qualified to share. You think in that regard to, you know, the qualifying rounds. Anybody just went through and watched the March Madness, college basketball, right? Yeah, they had to qualify to get up into the finals, right? So in order to qualify, you had to play really hard. In fact, you had to play harder than your opponent, hoping that it didn't come down to a bad call or something like that. You were either qualified to progress, or you were disqualified. But here's the big difference. In our case, in the Christian case, we were qualified not because of our performance, but all because of grace. Now, let me put it another way. In fact, sometimes this is translated not as qualified, but as made competent. Sometimes we understand that term and they say, well, that person was incompetent to stand trial. Ever heard that term? As opposed to somebody who's competent to stand trial. Let's put this in spiritual terms. Would you be competent to stand before the throne of God, before that judge? I'll tell you what, if you try and go before him, if you even imagine that you're going to go before God, and you're going to go before that judge on the judgment day, and you're going to say, well, God, here's the deal. I know I did some bad things, but you know I did good things too, and my good things outweighed my bad things, right? So that makes me competent, right? Wrong. You try and give that argument to that judge, you're going the wrong direction. The only thing that makes us competent to even stand before the throne, and I love how Hebrews describes it, the throne of grace, is Jesus Christ and his grace in us. His sacrifice, his laying down his life, rescuing us, he made us competent, had nothing to do with my good works, had everything to do with my bad works, because that's what he was doing. He was paying the penalty for my bad works. He paid the price. He was executed for me so that I could stand before the throne. He made me competent. And so the only thing I can say to God as the judge is, okay, here's the deal, God. I am totally deserving of death, even hell. And I get that. Here's the only thing that I'm hoping in, is that your son, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for me. That your son's death, he was executed in my stead. I believe in him. He is my Savior. And I so loved him and love him. He is my Lord. And so, God, I just appeal to you out of that grace. Here I stand. Would you please accept me on Christ's behalf, as your word says? That response will get you a well done, good and faithful servant response. Welcome into my kingdom. Okay? That's how we were made competent by Jesus. That's how we were qualified for this inheritance. What inheritance? Oh, you can't even begin to understand or believe what it's going to be like up in heaven, that inheritance. And even here on earth, the inheritance is the riches of a spirit filled with God's Holy Spirit. And now his love and joy and peace, his fruit of his spirit bursting inside of us. And even all the resources of heaven, God offers to us for our behalf, for our benefit, that inheritance. Now that's awesome. So that's how we were made made competent to share in that incredible inheritance. We were rescued from the dominion of darkness. And point four, in Jesus, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. He redeemed us. He bought us back as slaves. We were slaves to sin, and Jesus redeemed us, paid the price so that we could be transferred from this tyranny of darkness into God's kingdom, into the kingdom of God's Son, whom he loves. Here's the deal about forgiveness, what I'd say about that. Jesus said, you know, he said to the Pharisees, those who've been forgiven little love little. Those who've been forgiven much, they love much, right? Here's the good news. Some of us, we don't feel qualified. We don't feel competent, even though the Bible says this and that. Yeah, but all the bad things I've done. Here's the beautiful thing. Here's God's perspective. The greatest sinners he can get his light into and so transform them they can become the greatest saints. And he loves doing that. So any of us come to him and say, but God, I'm so ashamed. God, I've blown it, and you know how many times, and you know to what depths I have sunk. I am so unworthy. And he says, yes, but come to me. I invite you. And let me into your life. In fact, open up. I will absolutely fill your heart and spirit with my Holy Spirit. And I will begin a transformation in you. And you might think that you're the worst of sinners. But I am so delighted with making you one of my saints. And the very man that wrote this text that we're studying, this Colossians text, the Apostle Paul, he's a perfect example. And this is the way he put it. He said, I was the chief of sinners. He said, when it came to the church, I persecuted the church. I got letters from the Jewish Sanhedrin. I went around arresting Christians. I put them in jail. I was seeking for their death. When your Saint Stephen was martyred, I stood there holding the jackets of those who stoned him to death. I was God-awful, he said. I was the chief of sinners. And then look at the transformation God did in his life. He turned him into this butterfly and made him one of the greatest saints that the Bible ever even speaks of. God loves doing this. So if you walk through those doors today and you were thinking, qualified? Competent? Oh, Pastor, if you only knew. Here is the good news. Through Jesus Christ, the worst of sinner can be forgiven, but I mean of everything. Washed clean. And Jesus himself will give of his spirit, put his spirit inside of you to cleanse, to renew, to transform, and turn you into a child of light. Is that awesome news? I've got some questions for reflection for you. They're there in the sermon notes. So do you understand, do you truly understand what God has done for you in rescuing you from the tyranny of darkness? Should that not affect your love and admiration and honor and worship of God? Do you have the strong assurance of your qualification for the inheritance of the saints? Do you know that you're qualified? Have you asked Jesus into your heart as your Savior and Lord? Because that's the process of qualification. There is no other process. If you haven't done that, you come talk to me. Because this is for all the marbles here. Whether or not you get into heaven or not, whether or not you will continue just to struggle in this tyranny of darkness or be able to live in the light, is Jesus in your heart as your Savior and Lord. That's how you're qualified. And if you've done that, oh, you are qualified. What if I'm still struggling? Next question. Are you walking in the light, therefore? Or do you still spend too much time in darkness? If that's a struggle for you, again, come talk to me. Pray with one of the prayer warriors afterward. I mean, open up. Let's talk. Let's talk about how it is to walk in the light. Just get rid of this darkness. And do you understand God's call to share this good news with others who are under the enemy's tyrannical control? How are you actively responding to that call? Honestly, once you've experienced it, just tell your story. In your own way, simple as that. And you'll be stunned at how God uses your story to bring other people into the light. Oh, is that just awesome too? So I leave you with those questions for reflection.